Good morning. Today is Wednesday. It's the 12th of April. Are your taxes done? Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. Good morning.
My extension's in.
Yeah, well, we get through the middle of October now?
Yeah, we get to the middle of October, so I've been getting my nasty emails from my accountant. So.
Oh. Not personal?
No. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a change in the routine. You ready for why do we say it?
Yeah.
Scapegoat.
I believe
this has something to do with Easter.
I believe that this was somebody that had their goats all corralled up, and one would escape and cause a problem, like in the garden or something like that, and they would blame it on the fence and the goat. So in turn, it got shorted, and that's not my fault. That's the escaped goat, and it became scapegoat.
Now, if I wanted to argue, I could probably save you and get you correct on that, because you had the garden part right with Easter.
Yes.
Okay, and Gethsemane. Okay.
Goats are notorious escape artists, but anyway.
Yeah. Very early, the black-coated domestic goat became important in the Hebrew religion. On the annual Day of Atonement, it was customary for priests to cleanse people of guilt by laying the sins on the head of a goat. Afterward, the animal was allowed to escape into the wilderness. Early translations of Scripture were intrigued by the symbolism of that goat that was forced to escape. With the name of the sacrificial lamb altered only a little bit, it became a household word. Whether having two legs or four, black hair or what, or none in some places.
You look younger with it parted down the middle. Anyway, go ahead.
Good thing there's no camera here. Any person or creature whose head blame is heaped is compared with the goat of Palestine and called a scapegoat.
Isn't that what I said?
Almost.
You got to read between the lines.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You were close enough. I could have argued I brought you across.
Right.
Yeah. You didn't want to lose anybody in the discussion. Yeah, boy. Budgets, discussions, having fun? Or is it even to the point yet where you guys and gals have been able to talk to everybody in a body of five?
Well, not necessarily drilling down, but it's kind of like, I'm not going to wash the car. I mean, I'm not going to wash the car today because it's going to rain anyway. So, it's affecting most every move we make, most in every direction we run. So, as we try to, find a level ground, where we're at, working with our different departments and things like that. Well, I'm not extremely scared or worried. I think we will go through this without any damage, but I think there might be some, a little bit of a haircut here and there.
It was interesting last Thursday, Sheriff Billy was in, and he talked. I asked him because a lot of the previous supervisors had said unfilled positions. Okay, well, why don't you just lop it off and not worry about it? He said, well, if you do that, then you have to come back and ask for those positions again. It's better for the department heads to have positions that are allocated but unfilled rather than going through the other process, because then when the funds are available down the road, however they may happen to be there, it's not having to, mother may I.
Why are you adding these people? I said, I'm not adding them. I had these people. They've been empty.
Exactly.
To balance the budget. And that's, I think most department heads look at it that way. But understanding that most departments have had a peak, whatever year that peak was or whenever that was, where they were, 95% full. We haven't been close to 95% full in any of our departments. We're always 10 to 15% behind, just with turnover, retirements, and just the general way we operate. So with that keeps our budget in check, because we're budgeting for those unfilled. If we don't have those unfilled positions, we don't have a budget shortfall, but we use those unfilled positions budgeting towards to balance.
As a way to balance, yeah. So is it semantics? Because a lot, most of us outside I'm now asking everybody, what color is the courthouse?
Yeah.
Is it pink?
Yellow.
Faded something?
No, it was painted a few years ago.
Well, it depends on what side you're looking at. Now, for most of us, the jail is included.
The courthouse of the jail.
Yes. Tell me where one ends and the other starts.
Right there at the wall.
Yeah.
Wait till we had the new
yeah, the parking lot extension.
The new center. So.
Maybe that'll be orange or something.
You know, I mean.
Anyway, for most of us outside the structure, you know, when we hear that there's a deficit, okay, that means that there's not enough money. When we hear that there are positions that aren't filled, that says that we should go out and fill them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when we're hearing this deficit, this shortfall, is it real or is it freezing what is or continuing what the current condition is and maybe adding a little here, taking a little there?
Well, you know, when I was elected, what, 11 years ago or whatever it was, I mean, I think our budget was $260 million. And, you know,
really? It's doubled in 11 years?
Yeah.
I thought you were for small government.
There you go. So, I mean, somebody
good thing, huh?
Somebody run against me, call me a liar, I guess. I mean, it's just, I mean, we all tried it, you know. But, you know, and then you have to throw in that a big portion of that, our budget, you know, is not general fund. Our general fund hasn't doubled. It's gone up quite a bit, but it hasn't doubled. But our federal and state throughput, you know, Proposition 47, 57, bringing back a lot of the parolees and probationers back under our purview, DHHS, our mental health and homeless crisis, a lot of that comes through, and those are throughput dollars. So as long as they
and that's different than grant money.
That's different from grant money.
Okay.
Yes. And we also have to, you know, you also have to look, you know, in the last couple of years with ARPA money, you know, through COVID and COVID relief money and things like that.
But that was funny money one-time hits.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, okay.
You're exactly right. I fully agree. Was it necessary funny money? Yes, it kept a lot of people in business. It kept a lot of people whole. Did I think it was managed as well as it should? I think a lot of money went out that maybe not everybody needed. But, I mean, the thing is when you're operating in a disaster, there are unscrupulous people that take, we see it every time, whether it's the earthquake. We just saw that in the earthquake. Some people asking for money that weren't affected, but they were trying to get money or trying to get rooms, and they were already homeless before. So we get that level of
opportunistic behavior.
Opportunistic behavior, or in our way, thieves taking advantage of people. But,
yeah.
You know, as we move forward, the one-time monies are running low. Our state budget is running low. I mean, our feds are my favorite line. It's not my favorite line, but the line I use more than anything else is we're going to run out of ink pretty soon.
KINS and paper.
And paper.
Or cloth, pardon me.
Yeah, cloth.
KINS, News and Information Times 890.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, so as you're looking at the budget, we've got these positions in the county that are not currently filled, but they're on the books.
Yes.
So if we go through and pull those positions out, what does the deficit look like then?
Well, the deficit would obviously look better because, I mean, it
does it get it close? I mean, because personnel is always going to be the most expensive.
Personnel's, I think, what, it's 60-70% of our costs. I mean, it's a huge number, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also the heartbeat of the county.
There are people that are down, staffs that are down.
Think about how many things we do. You know, I mean, we're right now, we're there's no oysters coming out of Humboldt Bay because the Eureka City Sewers had a couple mishaps, and the bay's not clean. They just tested Friday, and they're just not clean enough to bring, and it's happened a couple times. So our oyster farmers on the bay are
in trouble.
That's the county's call. That comes through our lab. I mean, all this COVID stuff, you know, that we had to get the expansion, the new equipment, and everything else.
Right.
That all falls in. But so much of this, I mean, 1,245 miles of roads. I mean, everybody has their own separate law enforcement, but nobody has their own jail. Nobody has their own district attorney. Nobody has their own public defender. Nobody has their own conflict counsel. Public defender, conflict counsel is when somebody's already used the public defender. Now they have to go to conflict counsel. Now if they've been through the system and used conflict counsel also.
Are you going out?
Then we have to go hire private attorneys.
Yeah.
Because everybody deserves, you know, read you your rights. You hear it. We will provide one for you. And they deserve a good defense. The issue is that is coming out of our funds also, part of that. So, I mean, that's, you know. So you think about all the things we fund on a whole, and then we have 2.9 million acres and 4,400 square miles of Humboldt County, and our footprint's pretty big, and we have to take care of all that with personnel. And as the jobs get bigger, narrower. As the requirements.
Yeah.
You know, as the requirements, the ADA requirements, the work requirements, the different, you know, types of the way we apply work.
And that's what I was going to kind of lead into was with the changing attitude, perspective, whatever we want to call it, out of the state. More and more of this and more of that, and just kind of dumping it on tracking of certain permits or certain the cops talk about, you know, the racial stuff.
Yeah.
You know, how many are arrested? How many are prosecuted? How many are in, all these things that have never been tracked before. Now all of a sudden they're supposed to be tracked. Well, that's going to take somebody some time to do it.
We have staff that does that. Yeah. I mean, so, and as it should be. I'm not saying it's, you know, social equity, racial equity. It's not just a perception. We have had a problem in the past.
Sure.
You know, do I think we've had that? Do I think we've had an LA problem, you know, up here? I would like to think not. So, but do we have a problem? Yes. At that scale? No.
I would think everybody has got things that somebody outside the area could look at and go, that looks a little screwy.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But, you know, isn't that why we have the criminal justice system? Rather than doing all the monitoring, if
we have to monitor.
They're going after.
They're monitoring tall, through that system.
They're
also
going after tall, slow guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And if I qualify, and all of a sudden I look around and everybody's over 6'8".
Trust me, you know, short fat guys don't have a pass either.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, those types of things would pop out.
Yeah.
And you know, I would think with the sensitivity that everybody has got now, that would be taken care of and adjudicated properly. But the tracking of all these things, and then tracking things that we can't tell, we can't ask. Well, that's goofy too.
It needs to be done. It needs to be done. It's no different than medical research. It is actually no different. Sometimes they find a cure for something on the most obscure
right
thing. And I'm going, how did they know to do that?
But you've got HIPAA laws because in place to protect.
Because they tested. HIPAA doesn't even come. I'm just going all the way back to research to find, because there's so much. Because we have a different environment than we had 100 years ago. We have different pollutants in the air.
Oh, sure.
We're making the things we wear different. I mean, how often do you see a recall for something that, I mean, look at the recall. You see the ads all the time for Johnson & Johnson's baby powder. I mean, our mothers used to cover us with that. I mean, we look like, you know, I mean, you look at baby pictures, you know, with the
Michelin baby.
You look like you come out of a, you know, Scarface movie or something, covered in all that.
Or powder, the bakery.
You know? Yeah, or the bakery. Yeah, you just ran through
that. Yeah, he had been playing with the flour bags again.
but things changed.
And
we have found more out. So as we move forward, the way we do business, the way we perceive how we do business, the way we perceive life is different.
But the cost factor, you know, there's not the – if you want to track that stuff, that's great. Handle it. But you can't expect me to take today's shrinking dollar and do more with it and still be able to maintain the existing.
You cannot not do it.
Yeah. So I've kind of played with folks. Okay, here's my priority list is what I've identified, is what you guys have identified, you know, coming out of your Kumbaya meeting. All right, I can only do 7 of these 9 now. And if you want me to do this other one, now it's only 6. Tell me which 3 you don't want me to do. And I think it's got to come to that. I mean, there's got to be a carrying capacity here.
The cost of doing business, as we find out more, and our ability to find out more. Just something obscure, as a dry cleaner. Look what it took in Henderson Center to clean up one dry cleaner, and we have one next to the courthouse that is costing us hundreds of thousands of dollars because we bought a piece of property and the plume. Because of a dry cleaner. Now, something as simple as that, but the technology and everything else has come so far, we've got to take care of it.
Yeah, zero detect. Tough stuff to hit. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, as you consider what the next year looks like, whether it's the increased challenges financially, the increased challenges with reporting, additional duties, those types of things, and you see what's the goofiness that's going on with the state, and now I guess San Francisco has decided to throw the towel in. I don't know what that's going to mean. Other than probably a bailout from the former mayor who's now under the Golden Dome. What is this thing looking like? You know, I mean,
you gotta understand, there's no Golden Dome right now. They're spending $3 or $4 billion.
They scrape it off?
$3 or $4 billion, I think it is. I mean, it's a huge amount of money redoing the Capitol.
They took the gold off?
No, they haven't taken the gold
off. Oh, okay.
They're redoing the whole Capitol. It's been shut down pretty much. I mean, all the assemblymen and senators' offices are off-site and things like that while they go through the remodel. I mean, it's a regular construction.
Has it made government more efficient or less efficient?
I don't know. Contractors put people to work.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Put people to work. I'll be down there tomorrow. I'll take some pictures. I mean, I'll be there.
Yeah,
I'll take some pictures.
This is kind of like a JPA or what was it, WPA?
Yeah, exactly. But, no, the thing that makes me at ease is we have good department heads. A lot of our department heads have come up through the ranks and learned the ropes, which is a lot of time a good thing. Not always, but a lot of times a good thing. But that they understand they've been through this before because these things are somewhat cyclical.
So no panic.
No, nobody's pushed the panic button yet. I'm not saying it shouldn't be eventually. I don't know. But I'd rather think more to the positive because we're, you know, our CAO kind of takes a lot off of Amy Nielsen, our former CAO, much more conservative in estimates. And so we don't get huge surprises. We get surprises every once in a while. We don't get huge surprises. We're seeing a little tick up in, we'll see. The sales tax dollars should be ticking up. It looks like there's some spending going on. I hear that the cannabis market has bumped up a little bit, and that was the largest drop amongst all the retailers, where the grocery stores and the nurseries and even the grocery stores in Southern Humboldt and over in Willow Creek and those areas, they noticed it. So I mean, hopefully that'll help some of those smaller farmers and our legal farmers.
I got a question. You know, the county opted to waive fees?
Taxes.
For the pot farmers?
Yes.
Okay. There was a thought, and I don't, a couple weeks ago, if that can be done for that industry, what if the county decided, okay, because of the housing situation, let's pick a figure, $250,000 is the one that we've kind of been using, and if that typically is a $10,000 cost, to waive the first 25 homes or buildings associated new construction in the county for this year. If that would stimulate the activity, the one question nobody has is, okay, so you set that aside. How long will it take the county to recapture that $250,000? Yeah, it'll help out with housing.
Yeah.
But there's still the real cost. And what point, I guess it would be property tax or the assessment.
Yeah, and some of that we
can't. To recapture that.
You understand.
And how long does that take?
63% of all your property tax goes to schools. I mean, when it breaks down at the end of the day, the county gets.
Well, and Fred was not the one who suggested this.
The county gets a very small portion of property tax at the end of the day because we have people, you know what I mean? I think 1.5%, 2.5% of roads, you know, and they go, I pay all these taxes. And I said, no, I said, find out why your school, you know, it goes.
Right.
And it doesn't directly go to your school in your neighborhood either. So you'll find out.
No,
so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the breakdown on taxes is really funny. It surprised me when I saw the breakdown and things.
But
like
I'm
that.
Wondering, as an encouragement to make that happen.
On the cannabis tax fee, that was a specific that we could.
But
we
it was
could,
also precedent setting to waive the fees. And I'm wondering.
And it is worse.
Can you do that with houses?
I don't know that. I don't believe so because we've talked about trying to give breaks, lower rates, do this, but we can't.
It's not the gift of.
It's a gift of public funds. So that's whereas the Measure S was a specific.
I got a question for you. And I know that the gift of public funds has been something that's been thrown out as the reason. Counties and jurisdictions can't do something, at least for the 40-something years we've been doing this thing.
Yeah.
Why not put it to the test?
Use it as a tool rather than a weapon?
Yeah, my thought has always been that, okay, Rex Bone is pick a department. You know what's going on, and you've worked in that department for years. You know where you could save. I mean, if you had to save $100,000 as being a department employee, you could come up with that. You could. Okay. For year one, Rex gets a $50,000. At the end of it, after the savings are really documented, Rex gets 50%. County and that department gets the other 50%. And from that point on, they get the ongoing savings. So it's not a gift. It's an investment, you might call it. You could call it commission. It's not a gift because a gift implies that it's just a one-way thing. Why not? Why not roll the dice and put county council
a one way thing for one person or entity?
Yes, for that department.
Yeah.
So why not roll the dice, get county council and say, you know, we're going to do this. Get ready, be prepared, get your arguments ready because some yahoo is going to try to argue that it's not, and make a run at it, and see why not, and then if it is successful, okay, now maybe you got those fundings either for the raises or for being able to do additional things or AI or whatever it might happen to be. But at least then you got everybody in the county looking at ways to do the county's business better and more efficiently. Would now be the time to do it?
It makes sense. I don't know if it makes reality. I mean, it almost sounds like a very well put.
It's a no brainer.
It almost sounds like wonderful pixie dust that would work.
Yeah,
and
but you'd have to have your legal counsel.
You'd have to
in the county
counsel.
Who understands and buys into it and wants to make that happen.
And it's one of those team effort things. Is if one clog doesn't want to make it happen, it throws everything through.
Yeah, but I can't imagine any department head who wouldn't want to have their department with more resources and any county employee
in the long run
who wouldn't look at that and say, you know, it's not about the person in the next cubicle that you don't like. It's about getting the job done properly.
I always love this. This turns out from being an interview to a lesson for me. So
well, apparently we better take that break then. It's 8:43.
Artie and Heather. healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. So with the thoughts that kind of float around, suggestions either from the community, what may or may not be possible, how do you prioritize what you're going to do? Well, I see your rig out there. You're doing way too many hours. And I know of a couple of others that are doing the same thing. And it's like, either you're going to die in the saddle or you're going to burn out early. And it's like there must be some ways out there to get the job done more efficiently.
Yeah, I don't worry about burnout.
Well, individual,
myself.
But
I mean,
systemically.
I've always worked so many hours. So I've just, it keeps me, it's interesting, it's fun. And I want to be able to have a full understanding when I go in. I mean, that's why you see me on Saturdays and Sundays down there. I'm going over the agenda and it's quiet. It's
sure.
Quiet, except for the people that call me and says, why are you working on Saturday and Sunday?
I say, okay, thanks. No. It's a text. So, it's not a phone call.
But no, you mentioned public input. I get so many emails and texts and stuff from people saying, hey, how about this? How about that? And I'm sorry to bother you. And I always take the time, says, you're not bothering me. Because, I mean, even though it may not be applicable, and it may be applicable, but those little nuggets give you something to work on. I've got one small brain. I'd rather work with 50 small brains. And the problem is, I'm sitting in the seat, but it's your seat. It's the community seat.
Well, and that idea could spur something else entirely unrelated that we don't know anything about. I get that communication thing. But I guess I'm a big fan of networking and training and going to conventions and things of that nature where you find other people that have figured out other ways to do the job. And maybe it has to stay in California because we're so weird with our laws and regulations. Okay, but you've got your RCRC guys and then there's the CSAC folks and other jurisdictional entities. There's got to be some folks that are figuring out, how do you put together a regional mental health facility? How do you get paving dollars for your county roads? How do you?
Regional mental health, we're looking, we were talking about Mad River Hospital, off microphone. And they're working with us to do a regional mental health facility. And it's one that Connie Beck.
50 or 60?
Connie Beck and I want to say Michelle Bushnell, and I'm not sure who the others. But they went down and looked at a facility down south because they had done it down south. Much bigger, area.
Scalable.
But it was a much bigger project. So we bring it down to a scalable size, put it next to Mad River Hospital, and thank Mad River Hospital is bending over backwards to allow us to build it there if we can make it work. And those kind of, you're exactly right. And we did that through networking and some of Connie's directors had run across to other people. We do that all the time. I mean, RCRC, I'm in a meeting once a month with them, and somebody come, hey, you know what we did, or you know what we found, or what one of our people did? That's the biggest thing we do. And
so maybe we don't know that's what's going on.
That's my advantage with RCRC is because it's smaller counties.
Right.
Now, you always hear what CSAC, what LA did, San Bernardino, these huge counties, and they have the monies, they have the votes, so they seem to get the more monies. But some of these monies are coming back to just rural counties. We have Mike McGuire is real big to make sure that the rural counties. Jim Woods is real good about making sure our rural county isn't left out. So those are real positives for us.
Is the state any better in compensating in a timely fashion than what the feds are?
Yeah, state does a better job, and I understand. You got to understand. FEMA, you hear that FEMA owes us $12 million on road funds. Okay, well, FEMA is working and progressing and everything else, and then it hits the fans. I mean, the tornadoes, all this extreme inclement weather, that we had. Now, FEMA did a great job, both the state and federal. The state just went over the head in Riadale. But then another disaster happens in a more metropolis area, more people. And you got to understand, they don't have 5,000 people to handle the whole thing. They're operating on what they do. So their people get stretched thinner and thinner. So things get, they don't get put on the back burner. They just get put in a position where they're handled as they go. We've got it for you.
You would think
don't
first in, first out would be in there somewhere.
You would think. But in a disaster.
Okay.
In a disaster, if a guy's garage is on fire and then there's three houses on fire down the street.
Yeah.
He called first, but we're going to say three houses compared to one garage.
I mean,
where do you
put
that?
But you could argue that forever.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
And that's
exactly.
I guess I don't know if it's taking shots or not, but where's the congressman? I mean, $11 million, $12 million for Humboldt County paving projects. I mean, these guys, well, maybe Huffman doesn't, but Driscoll does. He drives our roads. He knows what the condition is.
I've got to tell you.
Holy cow.
We had a road project, I won't name it, but it was a $4 million road project, and it was lollygagging. It just kept dying on us and everything else. And I went to Mr. Driscoll, and he bent over backwards for me. He jumped through hoops, and he poked, you know, he prodded the right people. We're halfway through the project. And I think we would have been another year and a half if John hadn't stepped up. So, you know, Huffman's got the right guy in the right place here when we need it. And so I appreciate that so much.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Always a pleasure.
Hey, he says that now that it's done. See everybody tomorrow.